subject matter that not too long ago we were spending a bunch of our days on, talking here on local sports radio. But Ray Ratto, who has been a local reporter, a writer, a columnist, opinionist, now a talk show host at 95.7 The Game in the Bay Area, wrote an absolutely epic and beautiful takedown of the A's. The A's get no respect in Oakland. They deserve none either. And some of these lines we read yesterday on the show, it's just brilliant. Chef's kiss. Ray Ratto joins us on Extra 1360. Ray, it's Darren Smith in San Diego. Thank you very much for taking the time.
You'll feel differently in about 15 minutes, but sure, let's play that.
Okay. The Oakland A's, Ray, you didn't mince words here. How did it go over amongst the people in the Bay Area, what it was that you wrote about Oakland and its situation there across the Bay?
I think for the most part, people, without knowing whether they reacted to my stuff or not, I think they're so tired of the A's inability to create any kind of traction for themselves in a town that is not actively hostile to them, but would like them to make an effort about being not quite so hostile to them. It's just more of the same. I think they look at John Fisher and his chief spokesman, Dave Cavill, and they view them as people who want to get out and are trying to do it by being as offensive as possible. And yet, the thing that people are offended by the most is the fact that they're doing all this while having no option about where they want to go. It's sort of like, I'm going to trash the house I live in, but I don't have a new house, so I'm just going to, I guess, live with my own garbage until either somebody volunteers to clean the house out for free or until the insects come. So I think it's partly, okay, you've treated us shabbily, now you're doubling down, and you're doing a really lousy job of it.
When you say that they've
sort of where they are at.
When you say that they've been offensive, like how have they been offensive to Oakland, to the county, to the Bay Area? What examples could you cite for this audience, which maybe just only appreciates this on a surface level?
Well, they have tried to move to another city no fewer than 5 times. Under the, to a new site or a new city, I should say, no fewer than 5 times since John Fisher became the owner. And after a while, you start taking the hint that, hey, they don't want us. And when they failed with their attempt to go to San Jose for the final time, all of a sudden they declared that they were rooted in Oakland and they were all of a sudden going to embrace the town that they've been in. And within 3 years, that slogan has disappeared and been replaced by Howard Terminal or Bust, which is essentially a thinly veiled threat that doesn't have sort of a business end at the other end of that. So what people are wondering now is, okay, so if you hate us, fine. You haven't done much for us before, and yet you don't have another place to go, so what do you think we're going to do about that? And one of the things that they've done about that is they've stopped going to games. I think they're 29th in attendance in the Major League Baseball. And the only reason why they're not lower is because Toronto has played in Tampa and Buffalo. So, it's basically sort of you hate us? Okay, we hate you too. If you can move, fine. If you don't move, you'd better come with a better attitude. So it's been that, and it's been that for a long time. Because, again, you've never gotten the sense that John Fisher was any more committed to this team than the guys he bought the team from. And so that's been going on probably 25 years now, and I think people are just sick of it.
You write at defector.com, I love this line, talking about the A's, that they deserve better as a concept. They are an inferiority complex stuffed inside of an undeserved arrogance and a fan base that knows it has nowhere to turn but to the fantasy of a new owner who would have to pay upwards of $3 billion to buy a team in a new stadium when the franchise is worth a fraction of that. An inferiority complex stuffed inside of an undeserved arrogance, Ray? What is, explain that for us.
The A's have been painting themselves as the second team in the Bay Area since the day they got here in 1968. And yet they operate as though they deserve some sort of fealty just because they exist. And the fact is, you have to work to get people to like you enough to give you money. And for the most part, except for the 15 years in which the Haas family owned them, they haven't worked for it. They've expected people to take care of them in any number of ways. You have to come and support the team, or going to the major league owners and saying, you have to help us go to San Jose. You know, it's they've never been, in their minds, loved as much as they should, except by, you know, diehard A's fans. And they want people to fix the problems for them that way. And it's capitalist America. Nobody helps you unless they can help themselves first. And that's where they're at now, is they've tried to create leverage a number of times by threatening to leave, and nothing's happened that they wanted. So they decided, well, then we'll try to be nice guys. Nothing happened. And now they're trying to be more offensive than at any point since the Charlie Finley era. And that still hasn't worked. So they have to figure out a way to, you know, to reach a public that they've basically sat back and demanded loyalty from without giving much in return.
I'm sure some of this is really resonating with people who live here in San Diego who aren't quite so sure that Ray Ratto isn't talking about Dean Spanos, but we'll save that for a little later on. So what went on last week, Ray? And I realize that this can be an incredibly boring, mundane conversation when we're talking about politicians, city council members, et cetera, voting procedures. We've been through this. You've been through this as well. So, you know, I'm sure people would like to hear about trade deadline stuff. But what went on last week? Any movement whatsoever? Did the ball get advanced down the field at all last week with the Oakland City Council and its vote on whatever it was that it was voting on?
It didn't get advanced much, but it didn't get fumbled either. Basically, the city gave the A's a term sheet, which is not the same as a contract, but sort of a battle plan for going forward that included land in exchange for some low-cost public housing and some other things that the A's didn't want. They just want the land without any, you know, without any constrictions on them so that they can turn it into God knows what, another mall. and so that's where they're arguing. It's that, wait a minute, you want us to sell you land at a relatively low price and then we have nothing to say about it? You know, I don't think, you know, and Oakland's been through this with the Raiders, and they basically told the NFL, we don't like the terms, go ahead and leave. So, you know, it's not like this mayor is going to blink because the A's are holding their breath. So basically that was the next shot, and now they're waiting to see if the A's want to engage in sort of an open-ended negotiation that will result in a deal that neither side likes very much, or if they've got the stones to leave to a place that hasn't said it wants them yet. You know, and that's not just Las Vegas, which is not really Las Vegas, but Henderson, Nevada, which is out in the suburbs. It's not Portland. It's not Charlotte. It's not Nashville. The fact is the A's don't have anybody clamoring for them right now, so they're trying to create leverage by making Oakland operate out of shame. And like I said, that didn't work when the Raiders were getting ready to leave, and the Raiders have been here before the A's were. So, you know, that's where we're at. It's part of a longer negotiation that I suspect in the end will end badly for all involved, but we're still at the early stages of it.
How could it end badly for all involved? Does that include the A's remaining in Oakland, or what's the bad of the baddest, the worst of the worst in that situation?
Well, the worst of the worst is them leaving to another town that will be lukewarm toward them the way Kansas City was and the way Oakland was. The worst case for A's fans is that their team leaves. And the worst case for Oakland is they have no more teams, and so they have to figure out a way to revitalize a town, you know, without, you know, pro sports as a shiny object for them to shake at. So, you know, if the A's go to another town, I think they'll run into the same problems again. I think if they leave, Oakland will be, you know, one diversion poorer. And I think fans who have been loyal to them will feel used and betrayed. So So I think that's the worst case scenario. The best case scenario is they all figure out a way to get along and stop trying to screw each other. And so far, we haven't reached that point yet.
New to the conversation is the commissioner's input, which has changed from a couple of years ago, where he stated, and I paraphrase, something to the effect of Oakland is the best market that we can hope for the A's. Now, recently at the All-Star game, Ray, as you know, Ray Ratto joining us from 95.7 The Game in the Bay Area and Defector.com. He recently said, hey, these are serious threats and we've got serious options, and not just Vegas, everybody. How did those comments from the commissioner, did that do anything to shake the tree at all in terms of the commissioner now chiming in and changing his tune from a couple of years ago?
It made it a talking point for media nitwits, but it didn't otherwise move the dial at all because, you know, as everybody knows now, the commissioner works for the owners, not for the game. And the owners at other places, Tampa Bay, for example, want to know that they won't have any problems telling one of their employees to support whatever gambit they're trying to run. So basically, it was a guy with a vested interest in keeping his job saying a thing that would help him keep his job. So it didn't really do anything but turn this into a talking point that it hadn't been for a while. So he managed to get attention on it. But other than that, I don't think he changed anybody's mind.
And these people who you've referenced there, John Fisher, a little bit of background on him. He owns the Gap, or he comes from the family that owns the Gap? This is the owner of the Oakland A's?
He comes from the family that owns the Gap. And his father, Don, at one point was a shareholder in the Giants when they first transferred ownership in 1992 from Bob Lurie to Peter McGowan and a bunch of guys with a lot more money than he had. And he was one of the guys who had big money. And within a year or two, he got sick of the arrangement and, you know, got bought out cheerfully. So that's the baseball background of the family.
And Dave Cavill, as you write, is Fredo Corleone with a wind-up toy of a circus monkey playing cymbals, where his relatability and improvisational skills should reside. They're the people who are trying to convince you to buy them a drink and then start a one-way conversation with you. That's quite a way to capture the team president, Dave Cavill.
Well, he was a guy who, you know, he helped get a stadium for the San Jose Earthquakes of the MLS and got hired by the A's to help them do that. And for a while, he was the guy who was, you know, talking about we're rooted in Oakland. I mean, I don't know if he's the one who thought of the slogan, but he's the one who, you know, parroted it the loudest. And yet when it came time to turn heel, he did and basically started saying, well, it's Howard Terminal or bust. And it's showing up at, Stanley Cup games in Vegas and trying to make himself conspicuous in Nevada. So, you know, all the sloganeering just makes him, like I said, a carnival barker, you know. He'll read whatever script is put in front of him, you know, and I'm not saying that makes him a bad human being. It just makes him a guy who will say whatever he's paid to say whenever he's paid to say it.
Ray, I know you got a show coming up here in a little bit, so I'll just end on one other subject, if I might. Since we have you here with the Giants playing tonight against the Dodgers, there seems to be, you know, a thought around baseball that at some point, you know, the ground is going to come out from underneath the Giants. What about there? Are people buying into this team sitting there in first place in the NL West?
I think it's hard for people not to buy into it, but they know that it's fragile because if all of a sudden they're starting pitching, which has been carrying them, starts to get wonky, they don't have enough to save themselves. I think they pretty much know they're a wild card team at worst case scenario, but what they would like to be is the team that plays with the wild card team. They don't want to have to go an extra round, but they know that, you know, the Dodgers are a game behind they are. And they know that when the Dodgers get healthier, the Dodgers probably will be better. And I think the same can probably be said of the Padres. I don't think they looked at the Padres getting Adam Frazier yesterday with any great enthusiasm because Adam Frazier is a pretty good player, and he can play a multitude of positions, which makes him exactly the kind of guy that the Giants would crave. So they know that while they've been leading from day one until now, they know it's a fragile relationship with first place. And, you know, they could be a wild card team by the end of the month. And the end of the month is Saturday.
Ray, you are a treasure. Thank you very much for doing this. Really appreciate your time. Appreciate all the insight. Thank you very much.
Like I said, give it time. You'll feel differently.
Ray Ratto, everybody, 95.7 The Game. One of the Bay Area's great voices for decades as a writer through countless different publications, the Mercury News. For a while there, after the newspaper industry started going a little bit sideways, he's done a ton of online stuff, defector.com most recently, where he wrote about the situation. And he's right. Like, they've been through this on the NFL level. So what exactly do the Oakland A's think that they're going to accomplish with a lot of these hollow threats? And maybe they end up leaving. But once you've been through the loss of an NFL team, after that, people are sort of conditioned. They've got calluses already. They've developed calluses to this sort of stuff. So good luck, especially when you're an unlikable owner, as this John Fisher character apparently is.
I don't think there's going to be any rallies. I mean, seriously, once you lose an NFL team, okay? It's just different, man. You're seasoned. You shouldn't, but you are. You're seasoned. You're like, dude, you look at everything differently. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you this, man. I was having flashbacks. Some of the lines he was using in that conversation. Oh my! I mean, just wow.
Begging commissioners to help save them.
Yeah,
all that sort of stuff. Do what you're told. Looking around the league, saying, "Help me out." It sounds very much like John Fisher's baseball equivalent of Dean Spanos is what he is. And if you can't garner, you're always going to have fans. You're going to have fans no matter what. People who have invested in the sport, it means something. The game means something to them, not necessarily the ownership group. Mm-hmm. And so you're always going to have that element. But it also is a lesson in how you operate civically. And if you can't build any consensus around town, well, then what good are you? And when you try to move time and time again and you show a complete lack of interest in what it is that is required for this, because it's hard to do, as Ray Ratto just said, these are hard things to do. It's not easy to build Oracle Park. It's not easy to go ahead and get things done, especially with the degree of difficulty operating in the state of California. But you have to work, and these guys don't really want to work. They want to look around, and everything I read, I'm not there. Again, guys like Ray Ratto, they provide a little bit of insight.
He's been there. He's been through all of
it. He's been through it all. He's like, dude, you're not fooling anybody this time.
My favorite line, though, and this was so key here, too, is when he said, you have to work to get people to like you enough to give you money. Mm-hmm. Just because you are a millionaire or billionaire owner of an organization, and you at least for the team that was here was the most popular team in the city. If you can't connect with your community, the problem is you. Yeah. The problem is you.
And when you try and try and try, and you can't relocate, you can't go find, what did he say? Five different times, not just this ownership group. They've had different ownership groups. But five different times they've tried to find themselves in a different situation. They're 0-5 with that. And then you get, as Ray Ratto describes them, as the carnival barker.
Yeah.
What they did with that guy posting a picture of himself at a Las Vegas Knights hockey game in Vegas, talking about how amazing the atmosphere was, to me, that would be a sever all tie moment. That would be, dude, you just burned the bridge here. We see what you're up to. I realize that you might be playing games here. You might be trying to motivate people. That crosses lines for me when you go to that length. In case you weren't following, Dave Cavill is this Fredo Corleone guy, as he describes him, a circus monkey playing cymbals. But when he was posting pictures from inside of a Las Vegas Lights Stanley Cup game. And like, oh, what an amazing city, what an amazing sports atmosphere.
And you know what?
No, that doesn't go over well.
No, by the way.
Just put the for sale sign up and leave.
Wait. I haven't said this name in a very long time. Is he there, Mark Fabiani?
He's got a little bit of that to him.
You hire that one guy to like enrage your fan base,
slick.
And you take and you are the one. And by the way, when you do that, you're doing it on behalf of your owner, right? You're absorbing the blows for that guy.
That's what you get hired for,
right? Who's too cowardly to get out there and do it himself?
That's exactly right.
That's okay.
That's right. Exactly right. And I understand that people, that they have a deep rooted hatred for Mark Fabiani. I get that. But yeah, I've always said, like, he's doing the job that he was hired for.
And he did it well. He did it very well.
Same thing with this Dave Cavill guy, because it sounds like what they're there to do is be human shields for ownership. I like, too, what does Rob Manfred's input mean? What was Ratto's line? It moved the needle for media nitwits. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure how that was going to work on radio with Ray Ratto, but I must admit that there's a level of cynicism there that I think does play very well.
It's very, very, it's very interesting, and I think it's something that's that can resonate with anyone that grew up in San Diego during that Chargers era. So yeah, I think there's like a level of sympathy at least for people. Man, that would be terrible to lose two teams in Oakland. Ugh. My goodness.
Great, if you want to throw the Warriors.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, yeah. But that's true. But listen, again, as we know here, ownership matters, community investment matters. And my last thought on this is I cannot tell you how liberating it feels to not have to care about that anymore. Though that's behind us. Thank goodness.
Yeah. I think it was in this piece, too, where he's talking about the A's. He said they tried to annex a junior college property without asking anybody. On the theory that nobody could ever say no to the A's, even though their last century has all been about being told no. And then they settled on this new plan at Howard Terminal near San Francisco Bay. But oh, no, that's not the line I'm looking for. He said something about, you know, even like the Warriors knew it was going to be hard to go and build in San Francisco. They knew that that was going to be hard. Now, timing was everything because they're coming off this ridiculous run of championships and being in the finals. But it's hard. It's hard to go ahead and build where they were building, which is not too far away from AT&T Park or Oracle, where the Giants play. But they figured it out. They did it. And they accomplished it. And so from that standpoint, even if you didn't like the fact that they moved across the bay, and in a lot of people's opinions, they removed their soul. But that said, like, they got something done. They got a multi-billion dollar facility built. And to that, you have to give them a little bit of credit. Anyway, the A's are in town, so there's your A's preview. That's your A's preview for the night.
That's a breaking of your pitching matchup for tonight's game.
We'll be back after that.